This is Bruce Collinger, host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you're in our audience, and if you would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Remember, if you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there, and you can email prayer requests using the email address that you'll find on the website. And I have a weekly meditation that you might find helpful as well. So if you want those addresses, you need a pencil and a piece of paper so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, we have been doing a journey through the books of the Bible, giving you an overview of what each of the books, in fact, contain and their main themes, with a desire that you would go back and read them on your own. Fact matter is, I've hoped that some of you, knowing the sequence that I'm going in, would read ahead and would have perhaps read the book of Joel today, since that's the book that we're going to be dealing with in the Old Testament. Now, we've been emphasizing that the Bible has been written for the common man, but there are some things we need to understand about Bible interpretation. We need to understand something about customs and languages. We need to understand the distinction between the different administrations that God has used in order to reveal himself to this world. And at a minimum, we need to know that there was an Old Testament when God dealt with the Jews, and there was a physical land, and there were physical promises, and there were physical blessings. And we come to the New Testament, and we have now a spiritual land with a spiritual people and with spiritual blessings. And so we need to understand those things. We need to understand that the purpose of the Bible is to reveal God to us in a progressive way, and it's really to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to us, because he's the one that we find out is the creator. He's the one that we find out was the God that led the children of Israel through the wilderness. He's the one that gave the Ten Commandments. He's the one that was born in Bethlehem's manger, who comes now as the Savior of sinners, who fulfills the Old Testament prophecies with regard to the need for a sacrifice, and he's the one who dies on Calvary's cross and then is raised again the third day, and he's the one who is coming again. So today we want to go to the book of Joel. We're looking at what's called the minor prophets. When we look at Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and even Daniel, depending on who is making the division, we're looking at the major prophets, the prophecies that are longer. Daniel is usually considered the first of the minor prophets, because it's a shorter book. But that doesn't mean that just because we talk about minor prophets that their message is minor. It takes the whole of these prophetic books to really understand the prophetic plan of God. And as we come to the prophets, really we've come to that point in the history of Israel where they have moved from being totally loyal to the Lord to having turned to the idols of the land and all of the immorality that goes along with pagan worship. And it seems as though the pagan idols that God wanted destroyed when the children of Israel came into the land, the children of Israel have now kept enough people alive so that they are intermarrying with the pagan people in that land and have taken on many of the worship characteristics of some of these pagan idols. And God is angry with regard to that. Really, Solomon was the beginning of it. He's the one who established this man who was supposed to be the wisest man that ever lived apart from the Lord Jesus. At the end of his life, seems to have been willing to build temples to the heathen gods of the heathen wives that he had married. Whether he himself worshipped there or not is subject to question. I personally believe he did not, but nevertheless, he brought that pagan idolatry in. And now God is angry, both with Judah and with Israel. We know the land was divided after Solomon because of the errors that he made at the end of his life. And so we now have the northern 10 tribes, and we call them Israel. And we have the southern 2 tribes, we call them Judah. And Joel seems to be prophesying in Judah for Judah, but it's before the kingdoms have been overrun by Assyria or Babylon. But the Lord is telling them what's going to happen. And in a sense, Joel is an overview of the prophetic plan that God has in store for the nation of Israel. Now, reading Joel is not something that is really enjoyable as far as I'm concerned, although I will tell you that at the very end, there's a blessing that is very clearly given to us as Israel is restored into the land, and there is blessing associated with what is likely their place in the thousand-year reign of Christ. But particularly today, when we're going through all of the problems associated with this plague that we call the coronavirus, which leads to this COVID-19 plague. When we're going to that, we know that there's a lot of people that wonder if this virus, this plague, is part of what God has decreed in some of these Old Testament books when he talks about plagues that are going to come. And frankly, I think that these plagues are forerunners of things that are going to come. And I hate to tell you this, but if the book of Joel, which deals with the day of the Lord, if the book of Joel is a bit scary, then you need to understand that the worst, not the best, the worst is yet to come. And so when we look at the book of Joel, the key phrase in the book of Joel is the day of the Lord. It appears to be a day when the Lord demonstrates his power and when he rules on this earth. It includes what we've called the tribulation period. We live in the day of grace when people think they can get by with thumbing their nose at God and doing what they want to do and worshiping him in the way they want to worship him. But the day is going to come when all of that is going to be controlled and set aside, and God is going to judge the earth for having rejected him, because when we change what he wants, we change really who we think he is. And so there's going to come a tribulation period and then the thousand-year reign of Christ. And this day of the Lord really seems to be concentrated on the tribulation period. But as I've read through the different references to the day of the Lord, I really believe it also includes the millennial reign of Christ. It's a day when God intervenes. We say that God is in control now. Well, he sets limits. He's not caught by surprise by what goes on in the world today. But we have to be careful when we say that he's in control, or pretty soon we'll say that he caused the calamity of 9/11. He caused the 2 world wars. He caused the virus that we are now afflicted with. And while there's a sense in which he has allowed all of these things, and perhaps even through his creatorial powers has set in motion events that have ended up here, yet I'm very reluctant to talk about God's total control, because he's given a man the ability to make bad decisions, and those bad decisions have led to bad events that I'm not going to charge. I'm not going to lay at the feet of God as though he wanted them, and as though he was in control and caused them. And so maybe I differ with others on that, but I'm very careful when I say God is in control. But when we come to the day of the Lord, God will be in control. And the terms that are associated with the day of the Lord are terms like wrath and vengeance. And so, as I've said, there is going to come a terrible judgment on this earth because of the fact that at Calvary, the Roman soldiers that represented the political power of that time were willing to crucify the Lord, and the Jewish leaders who represented the religious system at that time, they wanted to crucify the Lord. They rejected him. They rejected the one who had come as their Savior, as their Lamb of God, as the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. They had rejected him, and they seemingly got by with it, but the Lord was raised from the dead, and he's gone back into heaven, but he is coming again, and when he comes again, there's going to be this terrible time when he intervenes in history, and it's called the Day of the Lord. If we were to come to Joel chapter 2, we read, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like the morning clouds spread over the mountains, a people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will ever be such any after them, even for many successive generations." And maybe the near-term fulfillment of that had to do with the nations, coming of both Assyria and Babylon against the nation, but I believe it also talks about the day when we read about a valley of decision in Joel chapter 3. In Joel chapter 1, we have a plague of locusts, and that plague of locusts reminds us that there's a plague going on right now in Western Africa of locusts. But the plague of locusts, while it's probably literal and it's a destructive plague that is coming upon Israel because of their sin against the Lord, yet it is also a figurative plague, and the locusts may represent the coming armies that are going to come against both Israel and against Judah. And so when we look at this passage, we see near-term and long-term fulfillments of some of it. Joel partially was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, when we read in chapter 2, verse 16 of Acts. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And most think it really means this is like that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." And so that is going to take place. But there is going to be a great war in what's called the Valley of Decision. And I, without going in depth into this whole message of Joel, it just tells us that the day of the Lord is coming, when God will judge the earth for rejecting his Son. And folks, you don't want to be part of that judgment. Now is the time to receive the Lord, and then you will be delivered from the wrath to come. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today, to bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.